to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to another special episode of the Comic Syndicate. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here one more week with a very special side project I'm working on. Several names I'm tossing out that I still am undecided about, but this is the chance that gives me the opportunity to fulfill this third passion project, which is, I initially wanted to call it Odd Man Out and just interview the fuck out of just random people about things they're passionate about. And today, I found that.
found the odd man, at least. You're halfway there. I like that name, by the by. I think that's pretty good.
Not bad, right? It's taken, though. It's a bummer, dude.
Of course it is, but it's still pretty good.
Thank you, dude. So I'm here with a very special guest, Mr. David Cromer.
Yes, yeah, and you got the last name entirely correct. Most people go Cromer, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. David, first of all, pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you
just
as well.
Just met you today. I'm having fun with you guys, like I just mentioned, dude. You guys are awesome, down to earth, and... I want to pick your brain a bit, dude.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay,
my brain waits to be picked.
So many places I want to go first. Let's start off with the last interview I had with Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of brought you up several times.
Yeah.
Please tell me, first of all, about this Cobb's Carnival of Dreams thing.
Excellent. Starting off from the project, I love it. So, Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, man, has been a passion project between myself and a group of friends that I actually met at the first job I ever held.
Okay, which is?
Which, I sold swords at medieval times.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, dude. Look at my face. You were not surprised by
no,
that
not.
Whatsoever.
Okay. But I probably saw you, dude.
You probably did. Yeah. And if you did, I was probably sarcastic to you. I apologize now, and I'm not terribly sincere about it. So this group of friends that I met many, many, many years ago, back when I was like 16, 17, I've kept in contact with them. And then about 5 years ago, one of my dear friends, Candy, who has been the kind of nexus for all this, the joining factor, just had the idea. She's always been a fan of mazes and haunts, and we share a mutual love of horror.
Yep.
She wanted to make one of her own. At the time, we were living at a house in Anaheim right next to Disneyland. It's a massive house.
Yeah.
Three huge common areas.
I live right there, backyard. Right now, dude.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful area, and it's actually fairly healthy on Halloween.
Yeah.
And we decided to do our own haunt, kind of on her idea.
How does she pitch that?
So, I mean, when you're living with a bunch of creatives, I don't know if I can call it a pitch. It was much more a, hey, does this seem like a thing we could do?
Then why don't
we do that? It was so much more of a, like,
I love
that's
that.
A wonderful idea. We've always, all of us have had the idea of holidays should be special.
Good.
And it's not necessarily, you know, just for kids, but especially for them. Holidays, at least when I was growing up, they're those kind of punctuation marks to the year.
Yeah, definitely.
You look forward to them because they are entirely separate from the way life behaves in any other scenario. It's the reason why Christmas is incredible, because no other morning has that apprehension, that excitement of waking up and knowing it's Christmas.
Awesome.
Halloween's incredible because no other night has that excitement of going out and the entire street is filled with
costumes.
It's
okay to be...
Oh, you can...
twisted and morbid and
absolutely.
Have fun doing whatever
you were supported.
You
like, yeah. It's one of those where it isn't morbid in this odd sense. When everyone's doing it, it's not distinctive.
Exactly.
So when everyone's, you know, covered in blood and bandages and have these horrifying masks, it just becomes
great.
Normative. Exactly. Yeah. This is fun thing you can be enthusiastic about, and that enthusiasm is infectious.
Yeah.
And it's a celebration of what would normally make us afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of shying away from it, it's one of the only times you get to hold it close. Make it something that will follow you throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Make it something that you can really appreciate and enjoy. And whether you do that, you know, in a joyful way or in an actual horrifying way, if you look to be scared, if you just look to really enjoy cobwebs and pretty lights, whatever it is,
it's
an entirely singular and unique night. So anyways, I got off on a tangent.
No, I love it. That's a great breakdown of it. And it's completely true, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got pulled in, so they've been with a bunch of roommates, was...
Yes, indeed. So Rachel was not living there the first year we did it.
Okay.
But she was roped in, lassoed creatively by the second year. So...
Tell me about the first year then, real quick.
So the first year...
So you were
year,
there from the ground up completely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that experience like, and how the hell do you pull off something like that?
Whew! Well, a lot of moxie, a lot of gumption, and a lot of free wood. So, which... phrasing. But When we first were trying to figure out how to do this, we had just a backyard to work with. And it wasn't a huge backyard. Okay. So our first big obstacle before story, which is where I came in as a writer, was construction.
Really?
And we settled on, we settled on pretty much doing it just classic roustabout style. It was me and two other guys out in the backyard. We rototilled the entire backyard flat, and then we brought a sledgehammer out, and we pounded stakes into the earth, and we created hallways in our backyard. Yeah, it was an entirely wooden maze, save for some
carpet. So year one is literally backyard maze.
It was literally a backyard maze. We took you around the sides of our house.
How much square footage did you have? How big was it?
That is a number I should be able to give you, and I certainly cannot. I will tell you right now, not large enough to have a good maze.
How about
we had a good enough
size backyard to pull it off?
Oh, we pulled it off. Okay, yeah. But we couldn't have like the expansive areas we really wanted.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
When you pick a theme, and because we can't make anything in our lives easy, we picked a carnival.
When we had
limited space, we picked a carnival. Because why not? We had to really adapt to the fact that we don't have wide open spaces to convey that grandeur that a carnival is supposed to evoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you look down the main fairway of a carnival and it's all lights and sounds, and it's just this sort of phantasmagoric experience that you're supposed to be able to invoke the feeling of, and we didn't have those spaces to do it with, and so what we wound up
doing... picture like a big top, too, dude.
Exactly. And we didn't have the backyard for a big top, or just would have been a big top. So what we wound up doing to kind of accommodate that is made the front yard entirely for families and kids.
Okay.
That's where we put up, like, we put games out.
Okay.
We had, you know, some sparse performers that first year. It was a very sort of getting our hands around what it takes to manage a product of this size.
Interesting, okay.
And so the front yard was very family-friendly and open and super nice. We had, you know, dogs in costumes and things like that, things that kids would enjoy.
Still sounds pretty dope.
And then, it was decently dope.
Very
and
dope.
If that word sounds awkward coming out of my mouth, it's because I never say it. but then in the backyard, it's like, okay, here's your family-friendly thing. If you want to be scared, come to the backyard.
That is
and
right.
And so we made us some really very thin hallways that took you around hatchbacks. And once you divide even a small space up into hatchbacks, you can make it seem large.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And so we used our space that way.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think that first year we didn't embrace the story too much because we did not have the means to do so.
Okay.
We embraced the theme, which was Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, based on a nightmare that I had and that me and Candy discussed.
Okay.
And then second year is when we really went all in and made it as horrifying as possible, which is a lot of fun.
Okay, let me stay on year one first.
Go for it.
Did you guys charge admission for...
No.
It was just for fucking fun.
It was just for fun.
You guys are fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, well, it's that... I think a lot of creative types have that... It's not an egotism, but it's a matter of being singular, being distinctive.
Yeah.
You want to stand out.
Oh, definitely.
Even if not a way that's like... Not in a way of being better than, but being distinctive.
Oh, for sure.
And everyone has that house, I think, in their childhood, where they look back and like, that was... the Halloween house.
Oh, yeah.
You knew that that was the house that went all out. And every year you looked forward to that house.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah.
And so all of us coming together had that notion of, we need to be that house. Like, that needs to be us. We need to be the ones that, like, people will crowd around as Halloween starts and go, when is it safe to actually go into the maze?
Awesome.
I don't want to do it now.
Yeah.
And so that was our goal.
Okay, so year one, just for fun.
Passion project, seeing what it took to actually put it on, and it turned out really well. It's one where, you know, you kind of underestimate how much the atmosphere helps a thing like a maze, and so it was super stressful leading up to that first night, because it was just, oh my god, we don't have nearly as much as we need, and then that night came, and it actually was really, really good. Like, even us walking through the maze as night fell, we're just, wow, we did better than we thought we
did. Okay, several questions now.
Of course.
First year.
Yes.
One day? Or was it like a weekend type deal? And how do you guys advertise something like that? Is it just neighborhood word of mouth? Or how do you guys do that?
First year, our advertising machine was not quite started. We put out a few like little notices. If I recall correctly, and my memory is a sometimes shaky thing, mine like a steel trap, rusty and illegal in most states. Our first year was very much, we had a couple posters that we put together. One of the women living in our house is a graphic designer.
Okay.
Wonderful with the Photoshop, so she had some posters going on.
Yeah.
And we advertised a little bit around the neighborhood, like telephone poles, things like that.
Which is still simple enough to work.
It was very simple, but it was one where our neighborhood itself, while healthy with children, you know, going around and trick-or-treating, did not have houses with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so one of the benefits of trying to put up a carnival in your front yard is people notice when all of a sudden you're putting up umbrellas and lean-tos. And when the fences aren't terribly high in our backyards and there's a crew outside that is pounding wooden stakes into the ground with sledgehammers and, you know, making hallways. You know this.
Oh,
like, when construction's going on in your neighborhood, you know it. And we probably annoyed a lot of people with our construction. That's fine. It got the word out.
How many people do you guys say you got that?
Our first year?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see.
And it
probably
was one night? Or
one night. One night.
Okay.
Was it three nights? No. 300.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah. We got, I remember, because we counted them by how many candy bars we gave out. That was another thing.
Joke.
Another part of our, like, we will be that house mantra was we got full-size candy bars from Costco.
Okay.
We had full-size candy bars donated to us as well.
Very cool.
And, yeah, we went through, I guess it must have been 300. Oh, my God.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was kind of, it was after that response of the first year where it's like, wow, this is kind of us just, you know, throwing this together, not really knowing how to do this. Let's do this next year. Like, let's really nail it.
Okay. How long did you guys work on it leading up to this date?
Oh, man.
This launch date?
Our first year, we probably started, and I'm going to be wildly inaccurate, but I'm going to give you a guess. I think we probably started about 5 or 6 months before Halloween.
Wow.
Because it...
I mean, just the work and everything, putting everything
together.
It's
a lot of, it's a lot of conceptual, it's a lot of bouncing ideas back and forth, and, like, the actual work, it's an interesting production, because so much of it is conceptual until you get to, like, the month of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we couldn't have a maze up for a few months, even though we actually wound up doing that.
Kind of essentially by that point, right?
More or less essentially, also just because striking is a lot of work.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So... the work that just to kind of set it up and get the idea out and what it was going to be was definitely started pretty early on. Then the actual, like, logistical nonsense was probably a solid, I'd say, 4 months before Halloween. Then most of the physical, 2 months before. And that last week being an immensely stressful last week. And
I'm
then
sure,
you get
yeah.
to it. And it's beautiful. It's like a huge release, especially when you see people happy. It's like, oh, thank God I didn't kill myself over nothing. You're happy. Your smile makes it all worthwhile, random sir.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Which, the way, again, it should be. Let's go into year two, then.
Okay.
Because
year two,
what was the thought process after you guys said, like, fuck, we can pull it off?
Yeah. So year two, that is definitely when we went all in on the actual concept.
Okay.
And I'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, please, please.
So Cornelius Cobb's Carnival of Dreams. Essentially, when we decided to do a maze, I've always been a very vivid dreamer, and I'm a bit of a storyteller. And I love language and words.
Yeah.
So when we were deciding on what to do with our haunt, and we were really kind of trying to figure out, we landed on a carnival concept pretty early. I actually believe Candy was the one who was like, I kind of want to do a carnival. Mm-hmm. I want it to be like a Dust Bowl-style carnival. I was like, okay, cool. I had a nightmare where I wasn't sure what the mechanism was, but I knew that there was something outside of my bedroom that was taking... part of me, pieces of me, and making nightmares out of it. Like, I knew that I was being used to make nightmares. And, like, it was... My dreams get very, like, metaphorical. It's my brain punching me in the face, oftentimes with common sense. So it'll be like, hey, you're doing a wrong thing. Stop.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
this was a creative one.
Very cool.
Where I knew that something... There was a reason why I had all these nightmares. And there was an engine that was making nightmares from me.
Okay.
And so I came to Candy, and I was like, so I had this nightmare about how nightmares are created. And in my dream, because egotism, it was me. But I kind of like... if we make it the carnival. Let's make it a carnival where dreams and nightmares are actually created. So it'll be called the Carnival of Dreams, but the fact is they manufacture nightmares.
I love that fucking concept.
Yeah, so the whole bit of the carnival itself is the front face is a facade. It is all the bright lights and the glamour and the, you know, fire dancers and jugglers and singers and all that good stuff. Barkers weaving spells with words, and then you get into the actual back, and it's where nightmares are made. All that excitement, all the emotions that carnivals incite,
you guys are
taken.
Going fishing and
exactly. So we're using emotional fuel more or less to create nightmares in the background.
I love that.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is year two now.
Oh, this is year two.
Okay, so you pitch this to her. She's like, "That's dope. Let's fucking run with the ball."
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Do this.
Tell
us about that process.
So that was fun. A lot of it, again, was, I mean, we had to find creative ways to explore that concept without having money.
Yeah,
a lot of it is very much trying to find, like, okay, who will work for free? What can we do for free?
Okay. Interesting.
It's a super high-minded concept.
Yeah.
And without, like, having someone out front with a pamphlet that just says, here's what this means.
Yeah.
How do we actually communicate this nonsense to an audience? And so I actually wound up writing a little short story about a child named Jacob, and he's taken by the main character, who was Cornelius Cobb.
Okay.
I also play him in The Maze.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. That kind of was the introduction to what the story of the carnival actually was. And the tagline became, what sort of nightmare would you be?
I like that.
And in the short story, I'll tell you this about the biggest like story-based thing we did in our second year. In the short story, Jacob's essentially kidnapped from his bedroom. But there is a scene where while Cobb is taking him, Jacob actually hears his mother keening over him not waking up in bed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, because family friendly, right? And so we actually put a scene in our maze where we had a brilliant actress.
Yeah.
I always say Joe, but I forget the first.
Cindy
Joe, thank you. You can just say it out loud. Correct me.
I know. Like, people don't know you by now.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time they listen to this one, they're going to be like, oh, she's still
here.
Again?
We just kept her for a week. It's fine. We've still been talking.
No joke, right? We tied her up,
So we had a... That's a different podcast. Different podcast. You've lived with me for too long.
Sorry about that.
So we had a brilliant actress named Cindy Joe, and she came in and actually did the recording of the mother. Keening over Jacob's body. And we had our maze goers pass by after a couple of scares. Our main living area, one of our public areas, we kind of walled off and turned into a bedroom.
Okay.
And we had her acting this out as she's like screaming at her child to wake up as people were going by. And that was, I think, the first like really eye-opening sort of story-based what is going on aspect of our maze that we incorporated.
That's like shock value right off the
bat. Exactly. And it was one where we were trying to find a
way
to...
How intense was it? Because it just sounds
freaky or decently intense. Okay. I mean, again, it's a matter of... It depends on how much you invest in it.
Yeah, okay.
The big thing with any sort of maze, the audiences you get, there is a wide spectrum of investment.
Yeah.
Some people just want to be scared.
Yeah.
And so while they'll be, you know, invested in just like, you know, someone making a loud noise, banging a bean can on a wall, all that good stuff, they'll find that very engaging. They don't really want the story. But for people who really kind of want to sink into the world and give up that like little piece of reality, that suspension of belief, pretty darn jolting, I would say. Pretty jarring. Her ADR was amazing. So we had her voice over our sound system.
That's just rad.
She actually has an Academy Award, so
she's
really very good at
She's
this.
Wonderful.
She's an incredible actress.
Yeah.
Well, and, if I catch you guys, I mean, whoever you guys else have for me, I'm down to definitely talk to you. Only because you guys are giving me this great fucking story, and this is exactly what I wanted anyway. You say you're a writer.
Yes.
How does a script come into play in the carnival aspect of it? Like, give me that.
Yeah.
I love writing, and I am a writer myself, so it's like, fuck yeah. Give me a story, man.
Beautiful. How long do you have? Initially, a lot of like what I was writing was just a general character synopsis. So I have a couple papers that are literally just like, what is the carnival?
Yeah.
How does this work? They're, you know, the children unwaking, which were essentially children who had been used as batteries to create nightmares and were then discarded, were characters, and they would just wander around our maze.
Awesome.
Just like grabbing people and saying, wake up. Wake up. The whole concept was, as soon as you went to the back of the carnival, you were actually dreaming.
That is right.
And so things like that. And who is Mother Matron? Who is the one who's in charge of children unwaking? So trying to establish a world, and a lot of it, honestly, wasn't directly translatable to our maze, but it was building a world that we could kind of embrace more readily when we had the means to do so.
Okay.
When we had the space or the ideas, or even just the audience and the following.
Let's go there now.
Okay.
Year one to year two. Sounds like the ambition fucking just got bigger, dude. Like, you guys went from backyard to where'd you guys move to? How big was that
space? Oh no, we were backyard still.
Fucking still?
Oh yeah. No, holy we shit. Yeah, we were backyard for 3 years, and it did get like just progressively bigger each and every year. It was a matter of I work in audiovisual, so I would get like random speakers, be like, awesome, now we have 10 outdoor speakers. Let's make it more immersive in the audio sense.
Fuck yeah.
Let's get some more lights. Let's make it more immersive that way.
Yeah.
Let's throw some LEDs in there.
Did
let's
you guys
get some
still
more
have
actresses.
A maze or
what? Oh, yeah. We're still the maze. The play that we're doing this year is actually new for this year.
Okay.
But moving from second to third year, if you don't mind, our progression there was we would just find more performers. Whereas years one and two was very much we had people who were in character, but we had far more people who just wanted to scare people.
Yeah.
We had
scares. Which is still fun.
Absolutely.
To do. Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But our third year, I think, is when we had a lot of people who, there are other companies that we work with actors and actresses who were willing to volunteer their time, and they came in and became characters in the carnival. And so we actually had people who we would have rooms dedicated to them.
Awesome.
Where they would talk to our audience and heckle them or harass them. We had wandering characters that were named with backstories.
Awesome.
We just got deeper and deeper into the world. Even if you only looked at it from the outside, you could tell it was becoming a deeper lore. And we kind of built that from the ground up.
Do you guys have anything like before people walk in, like a synopsis where they can read, like, oh, this is what I'm walking into. And that way it gives more depth to each character.
So what we try and do, we actually, I think it was the third year when we had a little special playing outside. For our actual event, we don't have anything like to hand to people to give them a story. We always have, you know, what I've written. I've written a few short stories, things of that nature. That are posted on our Facebook and whatnot.
Cool.
So people who'd like to can read, you know, all of the nonsense from my babbling brain. But people who are there, we try and really pay attention to giving them the story without spoon-feeding it to them.
Yeah.
So we'll have kind of these invitations to what's actually going on. Another person we work with, Aaron Buck, is a wonderful producer of visual media.
Okay.
And he actually created a trailer for our carnival.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is this available?
It's on our page.
When I put up the synopsys, I can also add that link too, so
yes.
people can find it.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
And you will see an older me in Cornelius Cobb makeup just being very disgruntled. And
very, very cool. Okay, so year two and three.
Still backyard. It was all stakes and ground.
So you guys are physically putting everything together.
Yes, we're building everything. It was a team three people that did most of the like wooden construction.
Yeah.
And for everything else, it was everybody. For set design and... No. Dear Rachel would sit in our backyard with a straw hat and a lemonade and a fan, yes.
And wave.
Yeah, she full-on Southern Belle does. But so, mostly everyone. All the hands that we could get on deck
right on.
For decoration and things like that, because it's a massive undertaking.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Did you guys find the audience walking in growing, obviously, right?
More or less, yeah. Our audience that like actually came to our haunt, every year we have so much more.
Holy shit.
Correct. Amazing amount of people. It got to the point
where... How did you guys keep track of it? That?
It was, again, we would have... So, a writer comes into it. We had a contract that people had to sign, and I wrote a contract and then had, like, you know, a little fine print on the bottom of what they'd actually be sacrificing and made it very comical about how they were giving their souls up.
Awesome.
And so we kept track that way.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
We kept track. You had to sign the contract to get a candy bar,
and
mostly we kept track via those candy bars. So as our years progressed, we just had more and more
way
candy
to
give away.
Track, dude. That's cool, though.
So, yeah, we topped 1,000 in our third year.
Wow.
1,200.
Dope.
It was great. And it was wonderful because, you know, we were discussing before how everybody has that memory of the house that they went to on Halloween.
Yeah.
And we did. Like, we had a family that will always stay in my memory because our third year, actually, they would give us, like, cookies. Like, they come over, like, if they heard us building or whatnot, they come over with, like, treats.
That is kind of
like,
cool.
Thank you for what you do. Our kid looks forward to this every year.
That's beautiful.
And it was wonderful. It was one of those, like, odd impacts on a neighborhood that you don't actually see.
Yeah.
But you know is there. It's evidenced one night. But the evidence is more than enough to be like, okay, we got to do this again next year.
I love that, dude. And it's a great feeling, too.
Like, oh, yeah.
You're having fun doing it, but that people are enjoying it. That's,
yes.
You get some sort of satisfaction out of it.
Dude. Oh, it's a feeling of gratitude and appreciation.
Sure. Yeah.
When you put so much work into something, so much thought, and especially a creative endeavor that you kind of do from nothing, whether it's, you know, a matter of makeup and that visual side, or doing media production, or writing for myself, or construction, costuming. When you are taking something from nothing, you're taking dream stuff and pulling it out from the ether and throwing it into the world.
Yeah.
Having that many eyes on it and having such a wonderful, emotionally valid and candid response of gratitude.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you made a memory for someone. You made a moment for them that has impact, that has a special place, no matter whether it fades or not from their memory as years go on. For that night, you were a portion of it that made it unique.
I love it. I love it, man. Okay, so now you guys are, what year is this? Year four?
So,
or year five?
Year four was our transition. Year five, I believe it's fifth year.
Year four,
okay. We actually moved out from that house.
Okay.
So, we no longer had the backyard. We didn't have a place to put our haunt.
Yeah.
So, that was our year we took off as a hiatus. And then the lovely Candy Buck reached out to the Anaheim Fall Festival and got us a new home. So,
that
this
is
year
right.
is when we are. Busting out all the stops.
Yeah.
Whereas before we were kind of limited by a space and
money.
Finances primarily.
I mean, that's got to be a huge factor too.
Oh, it absolutely is.
In any passion project, it is a thing. Yeah.
Well, especially like when you're building something,
yeah.
and it has to be, you know, a structure that's not going to kill people who walk in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like lumber's expensive, cloth is expensive,
yeah.
makeup's expensive.
Yeah.
You don't think about those things until you're like, I'm going to do this. Can I do
exactly,
this?
Exactly.
Like, ideas are really
right
cheap.
There.
They're
yes,
easy.
Exactly.
I can throw all the pretty words I want at this wall,
yes.
but yeah, once I need a wall to actually put those ideas on, oh, walls are
yes.
pricey.
Yeah, yeah, I totally feel you.
So this year, we actually have a lot of space. It's a beautiful step up. We have two storefronts that have been given to us by the museo that are not currently being occupied, and so they're allowing us to put our maze in there.
That's
on the outside.
Right.
On the outside we have an actual queue area for a line, and then we have a stage area where we'll be having a stage show.
Okay.
It's a fully produced stage show with talents from our cast that will be going on with a script that has people, you know, that has an interaction between our kind of third story encampment, which are our Romas or our fortune tellers.
Yeah.
And there's a whole interactive play there outside of the maze that's very fun and family friendly, kind of in keeping with our initial philosophy.
Yeah.
And then you go into the maze, and we actually have this year a 4-room interactive play where our barkers, it's a set up like a classic maze, but there are 4 main rooms, and when you walk in, things are happening. The barkers are talking to these characters, and there's an actual storyline.
Yeah.
So if you follow it, there's a plot line. I mean, people aren't safe. There's an actual air of danger that's meant to come along with it. At the
Very
same
cool.
time, you know, writing something like that, it had to be designed in such a way that if people just wanted to barge forward, they can.
Yeah.
And it's still a good maze.
Okay.
So if they just walk forward, that's awesome. But if they stay with the barker who sets the pace of the play and talk to him, then you have this interactive story that opens up. And all these characters that are in the maze actually have roles and
that
a part to play.
Is awesome. Year one, going to 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
How many people did you guys have on your set, working? Like, how many people do you collaborate with, I guess?
Whew. So
and how many did it grow by, or how much are you?
This one has been an exponential burst.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Wait, okay, initially, so year one.
So initially speaking, if we're going year one, then it was really, I think we had like about 10 volunteers, between 10 and a dozen. And that was mostly just, like, you know, scares outside or family and friends.
Okay.
And it was really just, I think, like, the core between 5 and 7 has mostly stayed the same.
Okay.
We've always had our makeup artist, our visual production, our audio engineer, Ryan Pena, who's a brilliant musician.
Awesome.
I've always been writer in construction.
Cool.
We've had another gentleman named Jonathan Torres, who has been integral in just keeping our maze running and in getting it up in the first place. We've had the assistance of Rachel that has just grown throughout the years,
cool.
which has made our maze more and more genuine as we've gone on. It's been an incredible gift, because before we were just like, well, bring your own costumes. Now we have a costumer. Like, we have a visual theme we can actually aim for.
Yeah.
So, first year, probably between 10 and 12 volunteers with I think just the core five doing most of the labor there. And year two, not too much growth. So far as volunteers, we probably got to about 15, 17,
okay.
I would say. Again, same people. Rachel added on, probably as person number six, as a core collaborator.
Okay.
Year three, actually, we probably hit about 20 or so.
Okay.
But again, it was, when you're working with the creative types, they are a fascinating beast to try and tame. creative types, being one myself, are the fucking worst. so you'll have a lot of people who are just like, I am so into this. I will be there. I will sell my child to be there. I can't be
yes,
there.
Yes, that's so fucking true.
And then you just backhand them and move on.
Yeah, which is understandable. What has happened. Dude,
absolutely.
I'll buy you some time to get some coffee, dude. But okay, so now you have, again, the scope of how big it's gotten mm-hmm. now. How much sooner do you have to start? And
so
how many people now?
Yeah, so our cast has grown, and this is just our cast. We have between, I think, like 35 and 40 people
okay.
who are volunteering.
Awesome.
And it's immense. Our stage show has a cast of, I want to say, 12 with a dedicated MC. We have 3 to 4 fortune tellers. We have 4 main characters along with scarers inside of our maze. We have switch-outs.
Awesome.
We have myself. We have wanderers
okay.
who will be scripted. Then just even line management, barkers. We have the way that our play works, essentially it goes through a cycle.
Okay.
And so there, without giving too much away, there are people that we will put in the audience for effects. And then we have barkers who are setting the pace of the entire thing. Mm-hmm. And as they go through, we have a cycle of those. So we have a certain number of them.
Yeah.
It has become a massive undertaking. So as far as writing goes, we're still writing. Like, I'm going to leave here, go home, and we have a rehearsal tonight.
Yeah.
I will be putting polish on things that I need to have had written yesterday before I go to this rehearsal, immediately after this. It's a constant process, because the deeper we get into it, the more we kind of realize, oh, well, this should really script to it. Like, we should give our actors this much.
Yeah.
Like, the stage show is a good example.
Yeah.
When we first put together the stage show, it was much more of a, okay, let's entertain people. Yeah. While they're in the audience, we have a ton of talented people. Let's give them a place to showcase that talent. And then it was
one night
where we just sort of went, it'd be kind of fun if the stage show had a script.
You know what?
Like,
like,
what if the stage show actually had, like, a rising and falling arc? What if we actually made a story outside of a story telling a story? Because Shakespeare did it, why can't we?
You know?
So, so it grows more and more and more. And now there's, dialogue that we're writing just for people that are wandering, things that will tell them, please feel free to improvise.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of production.
Kind of have fun with it, too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Cool.
Well, it's an interact. It's, like, the emphasis on this kind of entertainment, this kind of production, is interaction.
Yeah.
There is no fourth wall. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Everyone is a show.
Your
audience comes
in,
as soon as you walk up, you're part of the show.
Awesome,
And so you have to tell people, as much as this makes it much more difficult on an actor, you're gonna get a script. But if people talk to you, you have to be willing to talk back. Like,
oh, yeah.
It can't be a matter of freezing up. You can't stick to your script, because there is no actual onus on anybody but you to tell the story.
Yeah.
They're going to look for an experience.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to kind of creatively have that flexibility to find the narrative, mm-hmm. find the theme, respond genuinely, but respond.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, oh my God, it's grown to be such a monster.
That's awesome. I love it. The ambition, the drive, the fucking mm-hmm. passion. I love it all, dude.
No.
I can't wait to see you guys, dude.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a great project.
So you guys said you guys have a rehearsal coming up soon?
Oh, yeah. So we have a big cast rehearsal tonight, and that's going to be kind of all of our folks. As was mentioned in Miss Madsen's interview, we have sort of a 3-stage approach to the way our entertainment is going. We have, and it's almost 4 at this point. We have our fortune tellers, we have our stage show, we have the maze, and then we have anybody else who's wandering, people in the audience and whatnot. And this is the first time we're going to get all of them together. I have a big old speech I'm going to, vomit at them. They will. Oh, just wait.
Oh, no.
420 years ago. and we're going to really get into it. Like, we're going to really try and simulate the maze for them.
Very cool.
Introduce them to the concept. Most of them are well-versed at this point already. I've already had my stage rehearsal, and we have another rehearsal before we actually go up.
And you guys are going to have the full crew.
Yeah, as much as can make it. I mean, again, we can't pay them, so yeah. It's like, we will pay you with food. We will feed you. Come. Hopefully. The whole, like, starving artist phrase is accurate, and they're just desperate for food. So we're hoping for starving people.
That's like, dope, dude.
We're really, really hoping for that.
Sell your talents for food.
Absolutely.
Whatever works.
Come to us, you talented paupers.
Oh, we got some cupcakes right here, so you might as well toss them a few.
That right there, that's like six actors.
There
you go.
Easily, yeah.
Now memorize this script.
Awesome. Okay, anything else you want to add on behalf of the Cobb's Carnival drink?
On behalf of the carnival, please, please, please find us on social media. The biggest thing when it comes to an event like this, this is for me, but yes, for our carnival, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. You can simply Google Cobb's Carnival of Dreams, and you will see my ugly mug or the dear Ryan Pena's ugly mug. One of our two ugly faces will be on there. And just support us. Even if you can't make it, the biggest thing with this is we are trying to become a sort of focal point for this festival, and this is our first year.
Yeah.
So right now, the biggest thing I want to emphasize is any way you can show support, get the word out, even just stop by and interact with any of our actors or whatnot, we are so appreciative.
Dope.
All this is done for the people and really by the people. Going back to that force, Gordon. as much as we can be a presence.
Yeah.
Just give us a small hand in that.
Awesome.
That is all I would ever say.
And you know what? I'm definitely going to do my share. I'm going to send you each links of as many links as I can on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere. And I'm going to gather them each for you guys for each of your shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to toss them on my social medias. So when those are up and out, I'll definitely hook you guys up. And for our listeners, if our listeners want to find you on Instagram or Twitter, Facebook, I don't know exactly, but feel free to shoot it out.
Yeah, all right. So if you guys, for whatever reason, want to find me, I don't know why, but if you do, that would be facebook.com/explicit sarcasm.
Spelled, I like that already, dude.
Oh, it is a moniker I've had since I was like 16, because I haven't grown since then. same with Instagram. It's all explicit sarcasm, or David Cromer, C-R-O-M-E-R. If you have any questions about the haunt, if you want to participate in the haunt, I'm a decent vein to go through.
Awesome.
I'm a creative type, so communication not my strength, but I will do all I can to answer any messages anybody sends me.
Awesome. Well, I will definitely, I'm going to toss you guys out on all my social medias. I've got if you guys want to find me, I'm at For the Villain on Twitter. I'm at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. You guys can find me on Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, the podcast on Facebook, and the Comic Syndicate. Followers, but listeners, please follow these guys. They're awesome. They have a great story. It's a passion project, and I'm jazzed for them. And just talking to them, I get the sense of how stoked they are for this project. And just to encourage and be with like-minded people that are fucking passionate about something, you guys can fucking do it. So that's for you guys to support these guys. Please do. And if you guys, once they're up, please follow them and let them know what you guys think. So thank you, David, for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And thank you for listening, if any of you still are. So grateful to anybody involved.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll definitely hook you guys up. And all right, guys, listeners, I will catch you guys next week. Thank you again, David and Rachel. Peace out.